Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 119, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Sarah Gilcher of the Etsy shop Perennial Planner. Sarah runs a very successful Etsy shop that specializes in printable organizational tools and planners, perfect for moms running their homes or moms running a business. Sarah was also a huge part of making our Brilliant Business Planner possible. We thoroughly enjoyed chatting with her today. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Sarah Gilcher of Perennial Planner. She has an Etsy shop that's full of printables and planners to get your life organized. Sarah lives with her husband and three daughters in Washington State. And I should also mention that Sarah is the brilliant designer behind our Brilliant Business Planner. We pretty much had a bunch of random thoughts and ideas in our head and some sketches, and Sarah really helped us bring it to life. So welcome to the show, Sarah. We're so excited to talk with you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Sarah, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and your business, Perennial Planner?
Yeah, so like Bethann said, I'm a mom of three. I do stay at home with them. Haley is six. Maddie is four. Maisie's 13 months. Maisie threw her first terrible fit this morning, and I was a little shocked by it. That kind of came out of nowhere at me. So she was just my sweet little one. So two of them stay at home during the day, and then Haley is in first grade at school. My husband is a pastor of college-age students at church, and he also really enjoys training. He has a group of men at our church who he trains who are also headed to full-time ministry. So he works with them a lot, and that includes teaching Hebrew once a week, which is definitely not my strength. So yeah, I think as far as my role in my family, I really see myself as a helper to my husband, and I love that. I love being a worker at home, and I love helping in ministry. And so I think that that just looks a lot of different ways in my life, whether it be serving alongside him at church or being here at home with my kids or sitting with squirrely kids during a wedding he's officiating or earning a little extra income. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Oh yeah, that was great. That would be really interesting to have someone learning Hebrew at the house.
He's quite proficient in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, and now he's working on Arabic. So I'm always hearing languages kind of swirling around the house.
That's so impressive. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think so.
So Sarah, I know you've been on Etsy for a little bit of time now. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you got started with your Etsy shop and maybe some of the motivation behind it?
Yeah, I had started the Etsy shop when I was looking for a printable grocery list that was divided by store section, so it was just easier to go grocery shopping. And when, you know, a lot of them are attached to the menu plan, but most of the time I lose my grocery list while I'm shopping, and I don't want to lose my menu plan. So I wanted to have something that was organized by category, and I was having a hard time finding exactly what I needed. So I just decided to go on Adobe Illustrator and create one. And I loved using it so much. I was like, well, you know, I could probably make it cute, and maybe other moms would appreciate using something like this. So I think that looking back, I think that that's what made me open the Etsy shop. I also knew a mom at church, an older woman who is really dedicated to teaching women how to organize their homes and use scheduling documents to really organize their time. And that got me excited. I love helping other moms and women get more organized with their time. I'm not the most organized person, and I just need extra helps, and I get excited about organizing tools. So I created some schedules and grocery list, menu plan, to-do list, and things that I thought were attractive enough that could hang on your fridge or wall and match your home decor, and they would be cute and inspiring to use. And I also used some Excel spreadsheets for debt reduction and budgeting, and we got out of debt using one of those spreadsheets that I'd created. So I kind of prettied those up too and put them on my shop. And so that's how my Etsy shop came to be. And in the early days, I was hardly really selling anything, but it was just kind of a fun little side thing that maybe would give me some coffee money now and then. So that's how that got started.
I'm marveling at the fact that you wanted to create something and you just decide to do it in Adobe Illustrator. In my personal life, before having this type of business, would I think of using Adobe products for anything, I guess, in my previous life? So did you have previous experience with Adobe or graphic design, or what about that aspect of your life?
Yeah, well, I am a fine artist by education. So I went to school for fine arts, not necessarily graphic design, but just throughout, like, different things that I've helped with at churches that I've attended and friends who've needed some different things done. I started learning graphic programs a long time ago, probably before. So they used to be owned by Macromedia, this whole creative suite. And then Adobe bought them, or they merged or something, and it became Adobe. So I started learning them a little bit way back then, because you know how the vector programs are so different from Photoshop. They've got all the weird handles, and you can move the edges in there. So it is a learning curve, kind of a pun since you use curves in the vector tools. But so I kind of started back then, and then I feel like it's just been mainly designing things for churches that have kind of helped me along my path of learning graphic programs. But I didn't know much about InDesign, which once I started learning that opened up a whole new world of possibilities for me with the scheduling documents.
So you're pretty much all self-taught with your design stuff, other than, you know, a degree in fine art, which gives you that beautiful eye for design. But then you taught yourself all of these programs.
I did. Yeah. Wow. Very gradually, but I mean, pouring lots of hours into it and Google searches, but yeah.
Awesome. And you are incredibly talented at design. So we're so thankful that you've taught yourself all these skills.
That's sweet of you. Thank you. That's really nice.
So, Sarah, I know when we first met you early on when we started our podcast, which, by the way, thank you so much for being one of our earliest listeners. And I still remember the review that you left us in iTunes and how thrilled we were to get it. I know you had kind of another Etsy shop with a bit of a different focus and a different name. Can you tell us a little bit about that transition from kind of, I guess, figuring out what you wanted your niche to be?
Yeah. And actually, that's kind of an interesting story. And you guys weave right into it with your podcast because, you know, business was so slow for me with my original Etsy shop, Nixie Knox Designs. And I'd maybe get one sale, you know, I don't know, every couple days. And for me, they were like $3.50 sales, so it wasn't anything to be excited about. But I mean, it was kind of exciting because, you know, every little bit you're like, wow, I made money online. I never thought I could do that. So it was just kind of barely getting started. And I thought, as I got pregnant with my third baby, I thought, well, maybe I could start a hand-sewn baby shop because that was more my focus at that time, just starting to make some things for the baby. And I made some boppy covers and burp rags and things like that, and thinking that when I went on Etsy, I saw these sellers selling that stuff, and it was selling really well. And I really wanted to do a good job with starting that shop off, so I looked up just tips for how to use Etsy better, things that I'd never really delved into before. And through that, found your podcast, actually because of your podcast interview on Etsy Conversations that they did. I listened to their podcast and then found out about you, and I was like, huh. And I think it's honestly the first podcast I ever subscribed to, other than maybe some sermon ones way back. And so then I just went back and listened. I think you were on number 12 at that time, and I went back into all of them, and I was like, wow, there's so much more I could be doing. And so I went through my baby shop and I tagged all my items better and I titled them better. And then I thought, well, I might as well go and do that for my Nixie Knox Design shop as well. And in the end, my baby shop really only sold maybe one thing a week, and my Nixie Knox Design Shop really took off and started selling a lot more items. And that was so much less work. I didn't have to buy fabric. I didn't have to mail anything out. And I really would create, spend the hours creating one thing, and then it was there. It was for sales. So I ditched the other baby shop and I just decided to forge ahead with Nixie Knox Designs, which I later renamed to Perennial Planner, just to make it a little more branded as to what my focus is on planners and calendars.
Very smart idea that with the branding. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure it's helped you with your traffic too, to have a name that's matching with what you're trying to sell. When did this transition happen? When you decided to become Perennial Planner and things started to really kick off with the printables, and you decided that the baby items were just a little bit too time-consuming for your time of life. When was that happening?
It was probably after I had my baby. I know that I continued at the shop a little bit after she was born, but really didn't have the time to do the sewing. And so I think it was probably about almost exactly 1 year ago, maybe a little bit less than 1 year ago, when I started to just phase out the other shop and rebranded my printables shop.
Excellent. And for anyone listening, her Etsy shop now, Perennial Planner, just passed 3,000 sales. So,
woohoo!
3,000 sales. Yeah, that's really exciting. In about a year is awesome, is really awesome. What do you think has maybe been the best strategy that you've employed to boost your sales and to get those numbers up there?
Can I say listening to your podcast?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's really cute.
But, yeah, I mean, really listening to the tips from your podcast, but also the other women that you interviewed who had Etsy shops. Those things were huge for me because I started to, I think, look at it from more of a business perspective of how can I market, how can I grow, what do I have the capacity for, trying some different social media outlets and seeing what worked for me. So really what it came down for to me is because the market is getting more and more full and glutted with printable planners, especially on Etsy, I have really focused on my keywords and my tagging and titles, and also making a more branded look for all of my photos, my images, display images when you go into my Etsy shop or in search, that they would be unique looking and colorful, but also branded where you could see a similarity between all of them, and trying to make it have the feel of a real shop. I mean, as much of a shop as a digital printable shop can be, sometimes I tell people I sell pretend things because they're digital.
They're pretend.
Well, your imaginary stuff is selling really well for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, they're pretend things that really help people, too. I mean, as long as they get them off their computer and print them out, I mean, those tools can be so helpful.
Yes, yes, thankfully. And people don't even have to print them out because most of them are editable in Adobe Reader, so they can go in and type in their info and save it and come back and open it back up. So that makes it nice, too.
Oh, that's really neat. Okay, if you don't mind sharing, how do you make a PDF editable in Adobe Reader?
Yeah, it's really fun. You have to, well, it can be tedious, but you have to use Adobe Acrobat Pro. So it's one of those that comes with that Creative Suite if you have a subscription to Adobe Creative Cloud. When you open it, there's a toolbar at the top that says Tools. And then under Tools is a bar called Forms. And so then within the Forms, you can hit Edit, and there's Add New Fields, Edit Fields. Mainly I just use Add New Fields, and then you can click and drag to make a field the size you want. And then the problem is if you cut and copy that, and then you save your form, so let's say you have three fields that you want to be filled in, and you copy-paste those three fields from the first one. Once that person types in any one of those fields, the same wording is going to show in all three of the fields because of how Adobe Acrobat, I don't know why they made it that way. It doesn't make any sense. So there's some other tools you can use so that you don't have to click add new field, 30 times to fill out this whole table. There's a create multiple copies function, and it spaces them out for you. You can say how many copies you want to create of each of the fields, and then it'll just duplicate itself all over your page. There's even an option for making each field have multiple lines within that field. So if it's maybe just a wide blank space and you want someone to be able to type paragraphs in there, you can just say that you can allow multiple lines within that field. Also, you can make it rich text enabled, which means that a person can go in and change the font and the size just from Adobe Reader. They don't need to have Adobe Acrobat. So it is pretty exciting. I get excited figuring it out and making it so that people can customize their items.
That is very cool. I had no idea how to do that. So, and I'm sure there are some listeners who have digital files who are excited to know how to do that too.
So Sarah, we touched briefly on this earlier about the advantage of having a printable business on Etsy for you. But could you expand a little bit more on how this particular business model has worked so well for you and your family?
Yeah, I at our stage of life with having three little ones and my priority to really stay home with them and spend a lot of time with them and doing outings with them and all that entails, I wanted something, and my husband and I talked about it, it would be really ideal if I could have something that I wasn't having to ship out a lot of items. And so having the ability to have a digital printable instant download business was just really amazing for me, because I could, like I said, make the thing one time and it could sell many times and I didn't have to ship anything out, and I could even be freed up to do more custom orders and maybe take some, a lot of customers will want something just slightly customized, maybe add a snack to the menu plan. And so I'm able to do things like that, whereas I think if I were making something individually, each one, it would be really hard to do a lot of customization, and it would be just hard, period. I don't think I could, I don't know how you do it, Sarah. I don't think I could do all the shipping out and be that organized with my time.
Yeah, shipping is no fun, but it's a necessary evil. So audiobooks is what gets me through it.
Yes.
Do you mind me asking how your business is benefiting your family financially? You don't have to be super specific, but has this been, I'm hoping, a good financial thing for your family?
It has, yeah. It's been really helpful. The helpful thing, I think, is that there's very little overhead cost. It's really no overhead cost other than the subscription to Creative Cloud and the fees that Etsy and PayPal charge. So that is a real blessing. And we try to live Dave Ramsey style, so no debt, no credit cards, no debt other than our home. And so in order for that to happen, on one income, a pastor's income, sometimes that gets tight. And so really we live on his income, then we're able to use my income for the extra expenses that come up that typically, I guess, would go on a credit card. And we're able to build up some savings and even just give in ways that we are not able to give normally without that extra income. It's a struggle, though, too, because I think having that in my mind that I make this extra income, it can be a struggle to not be like, oh, hey, well, Etsy will pay for that. Oh, sure, Etsy will pay for that. And so I'm really, really kind of honing in my brain to still stick within the budget and use the income from my Etsy shop for specific things, and really having goals has been good for me.
That was good. I totally get that point of viewing your business as extra versus thinking that, oh, the business will, pay for that, or yes, sticking to that budget. So, Sarah, I know in addition to your Etsy shop, you also do some freelance design work, including some work for us, which has been awesome. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe how each of those kind of contributes to your overall business?
Yeah, I do some just various freelancing. I've done some for local businesses and just a very little bit for local businesses, but logo design and that kind of thing. But a lot of my freelancing work does come straight through my shop, people who are looking for something specific. I did try to increase my minimum amount as far as what I will do as far as a custom order to say on my front page, like, I'd like to take orders that are for $40 and more, just because I can get into trying to make all these little customized designs for various customers, and it kind of eats up into my time for my product creation. But at the same time, I love helping people, and I love giving them something that they really want instead of having them settle for something that doesn't quite work for them. But I've enjoyed the bigger projects too, working on the planner with you two, and that's been a lot of fun, and fun to see your original drawings and then put that into the program and make it happen and make it work and see it come to fruition, because you guys have a very specific idea of what you want, which is great. I think a lot of customers will just kind of throw an idea out there, and I'm sort of left a little bit baffled as to how to make that work. And so I've loved that you scan it in and have a specific design, but because I really do like to take someone's vision and put it into reality on paper. I'm working with another blogger. I just started working with her a few weeks ago on some of her custom free printables that she wants to provide to her audience, and that's been really fun too.
So has the custom work become as big or not as big as the revenue from your Etsy shop sales?
Yeah, it's not nearly as big as the Etsy shop sales. But the thing that I feel like happens is that in my down seasons, my slow seasons for my shop, is when I get a lot of the custom orders going on. So that's really helpful, because even if I feel like that week has been slow with my shop, I have other things that I'm working on and other income that's coming in that's helping me keep going with that. So it's been really helpful in that way. But I would say the small custom orders are not so helpful, just because they are a time sucker and they can get me off track with my bigger projects and my long-term ideas for my shop. So that's where it's hard for me, because I hate saying no to anyone.
But you're worth it, Sarah. You
exactly.
Should, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Save yourself for those big projects.
Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement.
And I want to point out, too, that for everyone listening, that Sarah actually, when she found out that we were designing our planner for the first round, she reached out to us via email. And, you know, we already knew her, and we'd connected in our Facebook group and knew her through email and things. But she reached out to us and said, hey, I heard that you're working on a planner. I'm not sure if you knew that that's really what I'm focusing on these days, is planning printables. And I'd love to, you know, help you with the designs. And then we just kind of, like, the light bulb clicked, like, yes, let's do this. And hopefully for you, Sarah, then it becomes a recurring revenue for you every year as you work with us to, you know, design the planner. But I want to give people encouragement out there that you'll never know what you could do to get more business unless you ask. Because even though we knew Sarah, it probably wouldn't have occurred to us to reach out, or that you would be interested in helping us design the planner, unless you just reached out and said, hey, I'm here if you want to work with me.
Yeah, I know. And I think that doing things like that is usually pretty hard for me if I don't have a previous relationship. So it really helped that you guys were so approachable and that I could interact with you. But, you know, I think things like that have definitely helped my business. That, and I reached out to jane.com and sold on their website last year, and some things that I felt a little bit maybe shy about doing in the early days. So, yeah, I definitely was nervous reaching out to you guys, but I'm so happy I did.
We are too. Seriously, I think you are a secret weapon for us.
And our we're sharing our secret.
Oh, I know. Shoot. I mean, never mind.
We don't want you to get too busy to help us, Sarah.
Never.
No, but I feel like that happens a lot with us, Bethy, and where people who do reach out to us, they can sometimes present different ways of looking at things or different ideas, or they have abilities that we hadn't considered hiring out for yet. But once they present that, we're like, oh, that does make perfect sense. And we do like to, and I think a lot of business owners do, they like to hire people that they know and work with people that they know. So it's okay to use contacts, people that you know, and reach out that way. It can really work out well for everyone.
Right. And, you know, even if our answer had been a no, like if we had somebody else that was going to do the whole thing and we didn't need her at that time, I mean, that would have been the worst that would happen. We still would have considered Sarah an awesome, you know, person in our group and community. So, I mean, that's just a reminder for everyone. I mean, the worst that could happen is just like, oh, no, not right now. No, thanks. But the best that could happen is, you know, growing your business, gaining a new relationship. And now too, Sarah, I was going to say, not that I know right now you're busy adding products to your shop, but in your next slow season, I say pitch to new people on bigger products and projects and say, I designed the Brilliant Business Planner, and go link to our page. You know what I mean? Like now, once you have a big project under your belt, then you can absolutely use that to reach out to maybe somebody you don't know as well. But you can say, hey, if you want an example of something that I've worked on, here you go.
Someday we'll be saying, oh, yeah, the person who helps design our planner, yeah, she's the one working for Martha Stewart now who designed Martha's whole magazine or something.
That would be so cool.
Speaking of creating new products, though, I was curious, how often do you try to add a new product to your shop? Because the nice thing about your business is you can keep adding new products, and the shop just grows and grows and grows. So how often do you try to add something new?
I try to always be working on something new. Sometimes, you know, kind of that writer's block happens where I'm just trying a lot of different ideas and nothing's quite coming together. Right now I'm sort of in that slump where it's not really a slump. It's more like waiting for the creative juices to really flow. I really want to get back into that fine art side of things where I'm not just on my computer all the time. So I've been getting out the pens and ink and pencils and, you know, just paint and really been working on how can I integrate some of my own hand-done graphics into my digital items that I create. So I'm kind of working toward that, but really when I push is in the summertime because I'm trying to get out the planners and the calendars that people start buying for 2016. Like clear back in the summer, people didn't want to buy a calendar or planner that was only pertinent for 2015. They would say, is 2016 available as part of this package? So it was really important for me even then to start having things available for 2016, especially with homeschool planners and things that go all the way through next year.
So, Sarah, I know you also have a blog to kind of complement your Etsy shop. How is that part of your business going? And do you feel like it's contributing to your overall business goals and sales? Because I know that a lot of Etsy shop owners seem to struggle with this, you know, to blog or not to blog.
Yes, my struggle, exactly. I have a hard time dedicating to blogging. It's kind of, I've tried starting 3 blogs, I think, in the last 8 years. And every time I get really zealous when I start off, and then I don't really, it tapers off. And so it's kind of my shameful hidden thing that I started this whole 30 days of decluttering thing on my blog. And I finished it at my house, but I haven't finished all the posts to go along with it. So things like that are hard for me to stay disciplined with because I'm not really focused on growing the blog and growing the readership and working on the SEO and everything that goes with together with that. So something I did more recently was just do a nice post on how to print double-sided planners and how to feed the paper into your printer and so what to select in your print menu on Adobe Reader so that you're doing it properly. So I think I'm going to be focusing more on maybe some instructional things on my blog that can help people with their printable items and planners. And maybe even I made a video on how to use my business Excel business spreadsheet, so I might add that onto my blog and some things like that because I know that if I'm not keeping up on writing interesting articles that are pinnable, that it's really not going to help a whole lot with my Etsy shop. So, yeah, it's sort of the thorn in my side right now.
Oh, no. You know what, though? I think
thanks
that's
for asking, Bethann.
I'm glad you got that question, Bethann, not me.
That's so funny. You know, I think you have a good idea, though, with using it more as a tool to help your current customers. But I also think, though, that using it as a tool in that way could attract new customers who, like, let's say they're finding you on Etsy, but you have a link, and I know the link won't work, but people can copy and paste the link from your listing that says, hey, head to my blog to watch a video on how to use this you know, my business Excel spreadsheet. And that could get people to realize, oh, I really want to buy her spreadsheet because I feel completely equipped to use it. Because I know for us, we did a little tutorial video on how to create a butterfly terrarium, and it's still online. It's so cute. It's like Sarah's oldest daughter, Lily, when she was like 5 years old. I think, was she in kindergarten at the time, Sarah?
Or she might have
I think
been.
She was
so
in kindergarten. It's so cute. And she did such a great job showing how kids can put together their own butterfly terrarium. And that video has had way more views than I expected it to get, because the only place we really link to it too is just as a dead link within our Etsy shop listings. So people actually do copy and paste that link over to go watch Lily make the terrarium so they can really see our product in action. And I think I want to say, I'm not sure if it's butterfly terrarium or there's one really, really good keyword phrase that it ranks on the first page of Google for, that video does, because videos are so yes, videos are so powerful. And I really encourage everyone to create videos for their business, because even if you don't even have your own website, like we didn't have any place to put that video except on YouTube at the time, and that's where it still lives, it gets views. And yeah,
that's great. Thank you for the encouragement. I'll definitely keep plugging away with those. They're intimidating for me, videos, but I think it is important, like you said.
And they don't have to be perfect. I mean, I think we even had like TV background noise.
Oh, yeah, because we would have had other kids running around while we filmed that.
Yeah.
Like, there was other kids were – three other kids were probably still in the house, or was Holden not there yet? Holden wasn't home yet.
Yeah, Holden wasn't
there. Okay, so two other little kids running around the house while we tried to film that.
Yeah, and they were, like, little kids at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, now I guess I'm going to find this video.
Oh, the stories we have to share. Speaking of little children, though, I mean, Sarah, your children are still young. I mean, 13 months old for your youngest. How do you find time to invest in your business and to have time to create new products and do custom work for people? How do you fit it in?
That's a good question. I don't work very much. I work when my kids are in bed. Madeline doesn't really sleep anymore. That's been a new development this school year. So in the afternoon, she won't take a nap. So I've worked with her to be able to stay in her room and look at books for about an hour, and then she can play some games on the iPad for another half an hour. So that gives me an hour and a half in the afternoon when the baby's sleeping, and I can work before I go to pick up Haley from school. And then in the evening, there are some nights when my husband's gone at meetings or various Bible studies and activities, and those are a good time for me. Or if he has to go to bed early to get ready for, you know, his Hebrew class, for instance, then those are good times for me to have some quiet house with nothing else going on, and I can sit down and work if I'm not too tired from chasing the kids around during the day. So I probably work between, I'd say maybe 10 to 15 hours a week. 15 is probably the most that I usually work, unless I'm, you know, doing a big project with you guys or some other thing that has a deadline. I find time to fit in the extra hours. But yeah, so that's kind of my schedule, is just afternoons and then sometimes in the evening.
I think that's incredible that, you know, you've grown your shop to, you know, over 3,000 sales, and you're doing some freelance work and, you know, supporting your family with just 10 to 15 hours a week. And that's the thing. I mean, it takes time sometimes to find your niche or figure out how to get found on Etsy or figure out how to make an income blogging. But man, once you do, you really can make some nice money on the side without it taking over your whole life.
Yeah, and I think that's what I really wanted. My goal was to have the income that a regular part-time job would provide, but working less hours and on my time schedule when my kids were sleeping. And that's what's been such a huge blessing to me, is that I can be, you know, make my own schedule. I can work as much or as little as I want. If I'm out of town, it doesn't matter. You know, I can put a notice up that I'm not going to do custom work that week or whatever. And yeah, so I think it's great when I can add products to my shop, and then that really has helped. You know, I listening to your podcast, and you highly encourage adding items to your shop to get more easily found, and that has been I think, a huge boost to my Etsy shop. So I love doing that. But if I can't for a few weeks, that's okay. And I have to just kind of have peace with as fast as I can move or as slow as I can move with my business.
That is hard sometimes when you do have so many plans. It is hard to recognize sometimes, at least for me, I'll get all stressed out about, oh, I have to do this. And then it's when you step back and you think, well, wait a second, these are my deadlines. Like, nobody else is forcing me to do X, Y, and Z.
Except your sister. I'm getting stressed out.
Sorry, go ahead. Except for you. Yeah, I think that's awesome when you do have your own business and you can set the pace, although that can be tricky. But if you can recognize, okay, these are my deadlines, not somebody else's, mm-hmm. and control the stress that way, it's awesome. It's great.
Yes, definitely. Yes, it really helps to kind of know your limits because our brains are always spinning with ideas.
Right. Yeah. And I know for me personally, like, I do not thrive on a hectic schedule. Some people do and some people don't. And it's taken a while. Like, you have to figure that out for yourself, how you thrive and then therefore how that affects your family if you're thriving. So it takes some trial and error sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to figure out priorities as far as, you know, what things are lasting, what things are truly a joy for me. And, you know, I enjoy my work, but it's not the truly lasting thing. It's not the truly satisfying thing for me. And so I need to keep the priorities in place that are those things. And I love my business and I love working, but it's easy to get wrapped up in that. And then I have to bring myself back to reality and priorities and make sure that my husband and my kids are getting the time that they need in the ministry. So
definitely. I love that you're always keeping yourself in check on that. And we definitely feel the same way. Okay. So sorry, this is an aside, which I don't know if we'll want to add into the episode or not. But so I was just so curious to look up this point about video being really powerful. So our little video with Lily, it's called Create a Butterfly Terrarium with Lily. And it's on like our old, okay, for one thing, it's on our old Amateur Naturalist YouTube channel, which only has 6 subscribers. So it's not like we had some viewer base that was ready to watch this video. We have 967 views on the video. Now it's been up for 2 years, but still I feel like that is quite a lot of views. We literally have put zero effort into showing anybody this video other than having a dead link, literally a link that people have to copy and paste into their browser from an Etsy listing to watch this video. But then I wanted to point out something else because I was looking on the side, the right-hand side, it's showing me other related videos. And the other related video that it's showing me, and this is back when Sarah and I had our failed attempt at a mommy blog, which was at backyardbrilliant.com. We were going to do this whole outdoorsy activities, and it was fun, but it was a lot of work, and we just kind of realized we weren't passionate enough about it. But all that to say, I made this little silly video. It's called How to Make Professional Lattes and Cappuccinos at Home Using a Milk Frother, because I had gotten like a milk frother as a gift. I have no idea what possessed me to make this into a little tutorial video. But anyways, I did. It's a little 4-minute video. This video has had 4,957 views.
No way.
I have no idea.
And that blog got like 0 traffic. I mean, I'm not even kidding.
Right.
That Backyard Brilliant blog had like, I mean, we would be lucky to get 10 or 20 people to go look at that blog a day. I mean, it was, you know, and we haven't been this was over a year ago. So video is powerful. Like, clearly people are finding this, I think, through the YouTube search engines and Google. Ah, and you know what's hilarious? Okay. So I'm looking at, there's like 14 thumbs up and 11 thumbs down. And then look at this, you guys, this cracked me up. Somebody made a comment, they said, talk too much. Which is cracking me up because I'm like, you're right. Like, you're exactly right. Oh, that cracked me up. Okay.
That's too funny. But that totally makes me want to make more videos.
I know, right? doesn't it? Because you could, there are so many topics you can create a little instructional video around. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be for a project. You can do a video on anything. I mean, we could be doing business videos. And I'm just dumbfounded that this silly little video I made and then made zero effort to promote it somehow has almost 5,000 views on it. I mean, insane.
Wow.
I don't function that way. Like, if I want to go find something on Google, maybe it's just because I'm short on time. I usually just, no, I don't want the video. I just want a step-by-step, like, tell me what to do so I can skim it and go do it. But I guess most people like to go and have someone visually show them how to do the thing.
Yeah, I think maybe. It just, yeah. And too, I mean, I think Google just prioritizes videos. So as long as you let Google show, like, all the search results, then, you know, a lot of times a YouTube video on the topic will make the first page. So, yes. And I teach that with my SEO stuff that I teach on Etsy is videos they're a secret weapon.
That's awesome. Well, maybe I should do a video on Adobe Acrobat, how to make them editable.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that sounds like a perfect tie-in to what you're doing. Be very good.
Maybe revitalize my blog there.
Well, maybe too, if you're doing things that come more naturally or more easily to you. So now probably Adobe is like breathing. Mm-hmm. You can just fly through things on Adobe. So maybe that would help you to want to blog more if it was things that you were already doing or that are easy for you. Whereas maybe coming up with organizing posts or something where it was more of a challenge, because I feel like, I mean, back to our failed mommy blog, it didn't come naturally to me, ideas about what we would blog about there. Whereas with Brilliant Business Moms, the list of things that we want to discuss or topics or write about is rather lengthy. So when you find that sweet spot, it's awesome when the ideas are coming, and then you can just roll with it when you find that right fit.
Good point.
Sarah, it's been so much fun chatting with you today. As we wrap up, we always like to have either a funny or adorable mom moment from our interviewee.
This was hard for me to narrow it down because, yeah, like almost everyone you interview says that little kids just say such funny things and do such funny things. But actually something happened yesterday, and I'm a little ashamed to admit that it happened, but it is like funny, adorable, and really scary at the same time. My little 13-month-old, she's toddling around all over the house now, and she just loves the realization over the last few weeks that she can just pick things up and carry them from room to room. And she loves getting into the dishwasher, as all little toddlers love to do. And so I had left the dishwasher open with just a couple things in it and ran to the other room where my other daughters were in the bath. And as I came back around the corner, the little toddler is coming around the corner, and in her hand is a steak knife sticking straight up as she walks toward me.
Oh, no.
And it's sort of like, oh, honey, give that to me, you know, before they get startled and fall on it or something. But yes. Thankfully, it wasn't a super sharp one. It's just from IKEA. But I still was just like, oh, my goodness, I am a terrible mother.
No. I'm sure a knife in the hand of a kid has happened to, I'd say, over 50% of parents. That's my vote. That's what I would guess.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, Holden, when he was little and first home, like, I'm pretty sure he grabbed one off the table before that. I was like, oh, that was, you know, too close, you know, within reach. Yeah.
Oh, she sounds like trouble.
Oh, she is. She's into everything.
Oh, and people should watch. Okay. And Sarah's two little girls, which are absolutely adorable,
so cute,
are in our Brilliant Business Planner video that we made, which is on our landing page, brilliantbusinessmoms.com/planner. So at the bottom, there's our little a little video that we made to kind of advertise the planner last year, and her kids are in it. And so you can see that her cute little daughter with her chubby cheeks and how adorable she is.
Grabbing for the pencil and the paper.
They are just too cute, your girl.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, somehow they got blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm half Japanese, so I don't know. It was amazing that their dad's genes just came through strong.
That is pretty impressive. Yeah,
yeah.
It is. Well, could you also tell everybody, Sarah, one more time where they can find you online?
Yes, my blog that, you know, hopefully I'll get some more things on there, but it's perennialplanner.com. And then my Etsy shop is the main place where you'll find me, and that's etsy.com/shop/perennialplanner. And I'm also on Instagram. I'm at perennialplanner. And you can find me on Facebook as well. So those would be the main place. I'd say Etsy and Instagram are where I'm at the most.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
I loved chatting with Sarah on the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed our discussion as well. You can find the show notes at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/BBM119. If you still haven't checked out our 2016 Brilliant Business Planner, you can find that at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/planner. You can also find it in our Etsy shop, brilliantbusinessmom.etsy.com. I also wanted to mention that we just started a Periscope book club about Crystal Payne's new book, Money Making Mom. And we would love to have you join in on the fun. A couple times a week, we're going to be taking a chapter of Crystal's book and discussing it on Periscope. So you can chime in with your comments if you have the book and are reading it as well. Or if not, just listen to our discussion about her book, Money Making Mom. We've set up a blog post that will explain the schedule, what days we're talking about, which chapters on Periscope. So we'll link to that in the show notes. But we'll be mentioning it on Facebook as well when we're going to scope about the chapters in Crystal's book. So make sure you like our Facebook page so that you'll get those announcements that we're scoping about Crystal's book, Money Making Mom. And join in on the fun on Periscope. We would love to have you. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.